Today, our sermon is looking at number two of our Mission Life series. Sermon outlines and Bibles over there. We will be delving into the Bible, so if you don't have one on your phone, grab a physical Bible and a pen and a sermon outline if you wish. Let's present this. Now, I think a lot of you were here last week, and I said that the metaphor or the parable that we're using for our Mission Life series is my Mini, a car that I am spending a lot of time and money restoring. And I'll go through some of the parts of that just quickly as an intro for those of you who weren't here last week. So please forgive me because I'm going very quickly here. In Ephesians, Paul talks about how the church only works and grows when every part is working together. And we said that the parts of the Mini that might need to be working together for this to actually be a drivable car were, the body itself, so the thing that holds it all together, which, as you can see, it back then was not in quite so good a shape. But also, we might need an engine and some driving wheels. Mandy's nodding away. Yes, that's all good. Gary said last week, don't leave the garage without your engine. We might need a steering wheel. Yep, because the car is completely stripped at the moment. We might need a gear stick to help us get into the right gear and move. A fuel tank would be handy so that the engine actually has something to power it. And then some interior stuff, and Brett suggested cup holders, and I said no cup holders in the Mini, but we will need seats. Now, each of these things stands for one of the parts of our Mission Life series, and we'll go through what they are. So the engine and the driving wheels, and this is today's sermon, the engine and the driving wheels is the gospel and prayer, the gospel and prayer. That's the power source for our mission. The gear stick is evangelism, actually being able to tell people the good news of Jesus and to support those who can do that well. The steering wheel is vision and leadership, which helps to set the direction for our church as we join our Lord Jesus on mission. The fuel tank is finances and gifts, as we support the mission with our material blessings. And the seats, etc., is the church environment and what that is like. And we're going to look at each of those other things in the coming weeks as well. This week, we're looking at the gospel and prayer. So that's my intro. Hopefully that sets the scene for those of you who were not there. Very importantly, I also said that the point of the restoration of the Mini is not that it can look pretty and sit in the garage, but that we get to go driving with Jesus in the driver's seat, and it's going to be fun. Mission with Jesus when he is in the driver's seat is going to be fun and joyful. Now, where is my outline? No, I've got one. Could I also have a pen? And I think I'll be all right without my glasses, but I'm not quite sure. Today, in our Mission Life series, we're looking at the gospel and prayer. And the gospel is the engine of mission. It's the power plant of mission. Prayer is where the rubber hits the road. Prayer is like the driving wheels. So, with all of that being said, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you that through Jesus, you have called us to participate with you in what you are doing in mission, in restoring the world. Lord, please open my lips to speak your word to your people and open our hearts and our ears to receive it and to join you in the great adventure of mission. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a Bible verse up on the screen, and this is kind of the framing verse for today's sermon. And I'd like you to read it with me. There's some gaps, but that it will become apparent why that is the case. Let's read together Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God to bring salvation to everyone who believes. Paul writes that he's not ashamed of the gospel. It is God's power for salvation. The gospel is the only power source, in fact, for salvation, and it's the only power source for mission. The gospel is the only engine that will fit in the mini of the church and make it actually drive together with Jesus in mission. Now, we Christians use that word a lot. What is the gospel, though? What does that actually really mean? And how is it the power source for our life and our mission with Christ? The word gospel is a translation of the Greek word evangelion, which means simply good news. But of course, in a Christian sense, the gospel is the good news of what God does for us through Jesus. The good news that God, through Jesus, has done for us what we can never do for ourselves, that he has brought us to God and reconciled us and forgiven us and made us God's beloved children. So in a nutshell, but I'm going to expand that a little bit more, the gospel is the good news of what God does for us and for the world in Jesus. This word power in this verse here is the Greek word dunamis. And dunamis or dynamis is the same root word from which we get the word dynamite. The gospel is the explosive power of God, the dynamite of God that brings his love to life in the lives of people and in the world. So it's not some wimpy thing, which is why Paul is also saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. There are many other ways to approach the Christian life, but this is the only one that brings the power of God. I had a phone conversation the other day with a Christian man, and he's a leader in his congregation and a leader in his state-level church as well. And he said that he had gathered with some pastors at a meeting, and they talked about what is the gospel. And this man was really quite distressed because there didn't seem to be a common and a good understanding of what the gospel actually is. If we are to move in mission with God, we need to not only understand the gospel cognitively with our heads, but it needs to permeate us and transform us and empower us in our lives as Christians. So I'm going to give you the New Testament has a lot of metaphors and images and pictures for what the gospel is and does, but I'm going to try and just give you several of those. The first way that we could understand the gospel is like a play or an act in four acts, or a piece of music in four movements. And the movements go like this. Number one, we were designed for glorious things. We were created by God, who loves us, to bear his image and to be his reflection, the reflection of his glory in the world. That is our origin. If you think of it in terms of my Mini, when that Mini rolled off the production line in 1975, a year after I rolled off the production line, it was a good car. It was shiny. It was the engine was all good. It was great. And it was destined for glorious things for whoever, I don't know who actually bought the Mini originally. Two, we are broken and in need of restoration. The Mini, after so many years and years of sitting there without being driven, had rust patches. The engine needed servicing. There were bits of the suspension that weren't right. It's broken and in need of restoration. Unlike the Mini, we as human beings have a deliberate part in our own brokenness. We turn away from God. We say no to the glorious things that God has planned for us. We rebel against God Bible calls that sin. But all of us, all humanity, all people are broken and in need of restoration. Third, God still loves us and is restoring us. He's not going to let us go easily. In fact, he's not going to let us go at all. He loves us so much that he wants to restore us not only to our former glory, but to something even more glorious than what came before. My Mini's not just going to be white all over. It's going to be bright red and white on the roof. It's going to look better than it did, I hope, when it rolled off the production line. God still loves us and is restoring us. And finally, Jesus is both the proof of God's love and the power for our restoration. It doesn't come anywhere else, only through Jesus and his work for us. Here's another way of putting the gospel. Jesus did for you what you can never do for yourself. Jesus did for you what you can never do for yourself. Here's another way of putting it, and I've written this down on your page here. This is from Tim Keller, a pastor in New York. He said, "You were so sinful that Jesus had to die for you. You are so loved that Jesus was glad to die for you." And once more from Tim Keller, "You are more flawed and sinful than you ever dare to acknowledge. You are more loved and forgiven than you can ever believe." There's some ways of understanding what the gospel is. And when you get that, that's the thing that I love the most as a pastor, is to see people get the truth that what God has done in Jesus, he has done for you. God loves you so much that he would give the life of his son in death and in resurrection to restore you beyond your former glory. I have said that the gospel is a present reality and an ongoing promise. Now, I want to unpack that a bit for you as well. For those who trust in Christ, that's you, all of you, and all of God's people, those who have faith in Jesus, are already fully, completely, objectively, these things. You are forgiven. You have been forgiven. God does not count your sins against you. You have been reconciled. You are no longer God's enemy. You are now God's friends through what Jesus has done. You are already justified. That means when you stand before the throne of God on Judgment Day, he will look at you through the eyes of Jesus and he will say, "Not guilty. Come into my presence, you who trust in Jesus." You are already children of God. Nothing can take that away from you. It doesn't matter what you feel like or how you feel about your salvation or about your relationship with God. These things are already objectively true of you in Christ. You are fully and completely forgiven, reconciled, justified, and children of God. I hope that that sinks in to you and gives you joy. The other side of the gospel is that it is an ongoing process. All of us who trust in Christ are in the process of, and God isn't finished with us yet, just like I'm not finished with my Mini, although hopefully I will be sometime in the next few months. We are in the process of being restored. Okay, all of us know that we still have that brokenness in our lives, but God is restoring us through Jesus. All of us are in the process of being saved. We are having our lives transformed and saved by Jesus. It's not complete yet. It will be, but it's still happening. All of us are being made like Christ. We are getting more and more like Jesus as the Holy Spirit works in us to help us to reflect the glory of God. We are being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's an ongoing process. It's not a once and for all thing. It's something that we keep asking God for. It's something that God keeps doing in us. So the gospel is both a present reality that is fully complete and also a process that takes us with God into God's future for us. Do you believe that? I hope you do. I'm seeing many thoughtful faces. What God did in Jesus, he did for you. The gospel is good news for you. This is why I say that the gospel is the power for mission. Mission is part of the gospel, not the law. What God did for us in Jesus, he does for the whole world. That's mission. That is God getting out into the world to bring his restoration and love through Jesus. Two things will move us into mission, both as individuals and as a church. The first is this realization that this is good news for you. This is good news for you. When people get this, when they go, God means me in what he did in Jesus, God means me. Wow. That is the power of God at work in the lives of people. And when people get that right down in the bottom of their soul, watch them go and watch them grow in Christ. People truly come alive. Start your engines when you get the gospel, because the Holy Spirit is at work. But secondly, the thing that will also move us into mission is that this is good news for everyone. Everyone. All of the people of Lakeside. This is good news. The people of Pakenham, the people of Australia, the people of the world. Every single area of human life is addressed and challenged and transformed and restored through the gospel, through the work that Jesus does for people. It's good news for our relationships. It's good news for our families, for our mental and spiritual health. It's good news for those who suffer from anxiety. It's good news for those who are guilty. It's good news from those who are entrapped by shame. And we saw that in the gospel reading for today, where Jesus heals a crippled woman. Jesus is concerned about every single part of our lives. It's not like we can compartmentalize the spiritual stuff and say, Jesus only deals with this stuff that has to do with God and prayer and church and all that kind of thing. No, Jesus comes to restore and transform and heal and forgive and reconcile every area of our lives. And so Kathy's story of being prayed for and receiving healing is one of the ways that Jesus is at work bringing restoration to a broken world. So when you put these two together, right, this is good news for us, but it's so good and it's good news for the whole world. How could we not share it? And some of you are probably going, oh, that's scary, Pastor Nathan. We'll get there, okay? We're going to talk about evangelism next week, and it's not as scary as you think. But when we get these two things, can you see how they move us into mission? Because if this good news is true, and it's true for the people who are not here this morning and not among God's people yet, then we get to share it with others. When people in the church and when the church as a whole gets these two things, start your engines. This is the power for mission. And yes, a Mini with a properly tuned engine and a big exhaust will sound a little bit like that. If we try and do this ourselves, if you hear me saying in these sermons, we need to get out there and be in mission, people. If we make this mission part of the law and not part of the gospel, this is what we get. Did anyone recognize this vehicle? It's the Flintstones car, right? How does it move? It moves by Fred Flintstone running very fast, moving his legs, right? His own power, his own motive power. I've looked at a model of the Flintstones car, right? It's got a massive concrete or rock cylinder at one end. It's got a massive concrete cylinder at the other end. The thing would not work. If Fred was very strong, he might be able to push it a couple of meters. It would never turn. It doesn't have any ability to, like, you need two wheels on a diff, right, to turn. You can't turn this thing. If mission is part of the law, we can try. I can guilt you or push you or say, you have to be evangelizing, and what we'll get is a Fred Flintstone car. Not a fun Mini, but something that will take a huge amount of effort, that will burn us out and that will not get very far. Do you understand that? But mission is actually part of the gospel. Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 20, verse 19 to 23. Mission is not something that we do or have to do. It's actually participation with Jesus in what God is doing in restoring all things. So, John chapter 20, has anyone got that passage yet? Hang on. This is the risen Jesus appearing to the disciples on the first Easter Sunday. Sylvia, can you read? Okay, let's just stop there. How were they before they met Jesus? Scared. They had the doors locked. How were they after they met Jesus? Full of joy. What did Jesus first say to them? Peace be with you. Peace. Jesus speaks peace. He speaks healing. He speaks restoration. The risen Jesus is with us, and he still speaks those words to us. Keep going, Sylv. Stop. That is mission. Mission simply means sending. And the risen Jesus comes to his disciples and says, in the same way that the Father has sent me, I am now sending you. Can you see how this is what God is doing and not what we make up? Can you see where the power is coming from Jesus himself? Keep going. Thanks, Sylv. If you share the gospel with someone and you tell them their sins are forgiven through Jesus, they receive that in faith. Their sins truly are forgiven. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. This is the power for mission, is the work of the Holy Spirit in the church of Jesus as we hear his voice, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. We get to participate with God in what God is doing in restoring people through Jesus. That is so awesome. And we get to do it together as a church, where each of us has our own special gifts and doesn't have to replicate what anyone else is doing, doesn't have to look like Pastor Nathan or Gary or Nick or... But God gives each of us a special gift, and he sends us on his mission to bring the love of God into the world in the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, mission is not something we do by our own effort. It is inspired by the Holy Spirit and empowered by the gospel. Mission is participating with Jesus in what God is doing in restoring all things. So, if you're anything like me, I think the gospel... I know that the gospel is the power of mission. The gospel is the power of God for the salvation of those who believe. But this gospel in mission, I think, leads us into prayer. And prayer, like I've given you the example with my Mini, it's on a subframe. The engine and the front wheels are one piece, right? Prayer is where the rubber hits the road in mission. Prayer is how the power of God, which is the gospel, gets traction in people's lives. First, ours as a church, and then the people around us that we love. Why do I say this? Well, all the answers are up here already. Jesus' mission was empowered by prayer. Okay, I'm not going to look up that verse, but it basically says, very early in the morning while it's still dark, Jesus got up and went out to a solitary place where he prayed. And then when people came looking for him, he said, now we need to go and preach the gospel to other towns and villages too. So he had been listening in prayer, and that's what prayer is. Prayer is more about listening to God than about telling God what to do. Jesus had been listening to the Father and knew what his mission was for the next step. Jesus' work spilled out of time spent with the Father and the Spirit, and it flowed out of the Father's heart for the lost and broken world. So first of all, in prayer, mission is about listening to the voice of the Spirit and getting involved with what God is doing and what God wants to do in people's lives. Secondly, Jesus commands us to pray for mission, right? In Luke chapter 10, Jesus sends out the 72. Very famous passage. We'll be looking at that a bit more in our mission series. But Jesus says, The harvest is plentiful. There are more people out there who want to hear the good news than there are people who are willing to share it. So pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest fields. And then he says, go. So before you go, pray. Lord, please send out harvest workers. Please send out people who can share the good news. May I become an answer to that prayer in the way that you want. Third, we pray for those who don't yet know God's restoration in Jesus. Who here knows people who are not yet Christians? Everyone, right? Pray for them by name. Seek the Father's heart for them. Say, Heavenly Father, please give me your heart for these people that you love. Please open their eyes to the good news of Jesus. Pray for the lost and the broken out of the overflow of the Father's love. And there'll be a lot more about prayer in our evangelism sermon next week. My prayer is that we, each of us individually, may get that the gospel is good news for us. My prayer is that it will sink deep into your bones that what God does in Jesus, he does for you. And my prayer is also that we as a church get that the gospel is good news for all people. What God does in Jesus is for your loved ones, your workmates, your family, your friends. This is the engine of mission. And so I've concluded with these questions, these challenges in the Holy Spirit. Will you pray with me, both personally and corporately as a church? Will you even perhaps fast with me, give up something good like food in order to concentrate on God's purposes? Pray with me that the love of God may come to a lost and broken world for restoration through Jesus. Pray with me for harvest workers. Pray with me that each of us might have the heart of God for his beloved human beings. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, you love us so much that you gave your one and only Son to die for us. And yet you don't just love us, you love all people. Holy Spirit, please instill in us the Father's heart for a lost and broken world. Fill our souls and spirits with the knowledge and the joy and the power of the gospel, and help us to see the ways that you are calling and sending us to a lost and broken world with this good news. In Jesus' name, amen.